What is the one thing we do if we want to know somebody better? Okay. You want to know somebody better?
Spend time.
That's a hard lesson to learn. Seems to be a very hard lesson for us to learn. We must think in our minds that we can do it separate from spending that time. And I, as I was looking to the Lord this morning, it's that time is quality time, where I can be still, where I'm not taken up with the cares of this life or my responsibilities, but that I'm taken up with Him. It's a place of quietness, place of rest. We've been listening, I think, I trust, to this area of rest. There's areas I know that God wants to speak to us to where we can really enter into it. Because it's the only way that we're going to see the works of God flow in and through us. Rest is ceasing from your own labors. I find that too often we think we have attained to that place and we haven't yet begun to rest in God. That means hand everything over into His hands for His work. We are convinced that we must do something. There's only one thing that I understand and have experienced over the years that I must do, and that was I must respond and believe God. That's my sole responsibility. He works all things and is continuing to work all things. I know that we're all looking for a fuller and greater expression, or else we wouldn't be here this morning, of the greatness of His purpose worked out in each one of our lives. Because each one of us are a part of what God is doing, and even though sometimes we don't think we are, and we hold back, we need to realize that you are precious and loved of the Lord. Each one of us. We have to know who we are if we're going to move in faith. Who you are in Christ. Why you now have something that you did not have. Of course, that is the very life of God. I want to look for a short time here this morning in the book of Colossians. Many areas in here that we read over and over and over again, and we get, God feeds us with partial truths, a little bit here, a little bit there. But there's the depth of God's working far beyond just our understanding. That doesn't mean that He doesn't bring us into a place of knowledge and understanding, but it's through coming to that place to where we hunger and thirst. We must see. God must open up our eyes, our hearts, to see if we're going to hunger and thirst and enter into this experience with God, because that's what we're actually doing. Any area that we start to move in and take time with, it's to experience God. I got a email letter this morning from somewhere around Singapore. Let me just read the excerpt from it. That's all I'm interested in this morning anyway. You can read it later on, what's happening there. I'm really longing to be in a place where there's a real expression of the body of Christ. God knows that desire in my heart, as I've told you before. I can't compromise to be in a fellowship made of programs by man. That's why I said earlier, I'm in a prison camp. I'm stuck on hold at the moment, but I know God would do something. I just have to wait. Here's a longing of a heart. Do we have this same longing? Because this is something I believe that's not just unique to this particular person, but this should be that which causes each one of us to hunger and thirst for God. And she says, I long for that place where there's a real expression of the body of Christ. Do we really even know what that means? Where we're connected together. Because there's areas that I know we do not fully comprehend because we're still in control. Let me just read a statement that I wrote down last night. The more we yield to Christ, the more we experience His love. The more we rest, the greater His working through us. Let me just say it again. The more we yield to Christ, the more we experience His love. And you're going to have to let God redefine all these expressions to let it become life, because as we've said time and time again, love is in its fullness is the expression of all that God is doing and how He does it. Many things come into experience as we experience love. We enter into these experiences. The more we yield to Christ. In other words, I'm not yielding to my mind. I'm not yielding to concepts of man. I'm not yielding to the philosophy of this world. I'm not yielding to my own desires. But the more I yield to Christ, beloved, let me just say it this way. Yielding to Christ moment here and a moment there is not enough. Do you want to get to know Him? You have to spend time with Him. You have to spend quality time. And I know we're all searching and learning what this really means. This is not just going and sitting in a corner. This is not being slothful with this time that God has given us. This is getting to know Him. To where we can start to move together. Moving when He moves. Now, there's only one thing that can do that is the quietness of our soul. In other words, we're not going to move when He's moving. We're not going to move in His light. We're still going to move by our own urgings. So what we think we can do for God. I can tell you this morning, as God has spoken to my own heart many times, you can do nothing. I think I know what that means when He speaks it to me, and then I find out a month or two later, I don't know what it means. I'm constantly learning what it means that I can do nothing in myself. I have nothing in myself. If you had anything, you wouldn't need Jesus in the beginning. But we seem to come in and we accept Jesus, and then we think that we can go on in our own strength. And you have to evaluate your own expression in what I'm saying this morning, because this is not to put a blanket of condemnation upon us, but to bring light that we can see that beyond self is Christ. And Christ is all that we need. In Him is the fullness of why we're here. Let me repeat it one more time. The more we yield to Christ, the more we experience. Not the more knowledge you have of love, the more you experience love. One more time. The more we rest, come to a standstill. I can do nothing. But I've got to do, God. I know God wants rest. That's what the world is doing out there. Doing, working for God. It's nothing new. Cain did it at the very beginning of creation. It hadn't stopped. Man continues to think that he can do something, and God says, the new covenant is that I'm going to do it all. Don't you realize that you can do nothing? Don't you realize what grace is all about? Of course, we don't think that, you know, if we don't do something, we're worth nothing. We don't learn that strength comes by being still. His strength, not your strength. We're constantly looking for God to strengthen me. I don't want Him to strengthen me. I want to know His strength. Now follow me, because this is not a play on words. I want to know Him. I want to know His strength. I don't want to be strengthened separate from Him. Because if I am, I will fail. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but up the line I will fail. Unless I know His strength, unless I've taken the time to wait upon Him. This is a continual process of life. Let's go to Colossians now for a moment. Let me begin to read in the first chapter, the 11th verse. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That's suitable. That's what that means. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then, dropping on over to chapter 2. Verse 6. It'd be wonderful if we could move right from the old into the new. Of course, this is what God has ordained for us to do, but we all are slow learners. You'll find that God brings you to the end of yourself before, and you feel He's stretching you to where you can't be stretched anymore. And what does He do? Reveal Himself. And that's where He wanted you all the time. But you hung on to what you can do. You hung on to your strength. You hung on to knowledge that you've learned, rather than experiencing and working out of that knowledge which He has become our knowledge. Verse 6, chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Go ahead, try to copy. This is not copying anybody. This is not reading the Gospels and see how you walk and then try to copy it. It tells us if you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Let's go on further. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Our lives, if there's anything should be coming out of our lives, it should be thanksgiving and rejoicing. I'm not talking about some just emotional bubbling that comes out of us sometimes. I'm not taking away from that either, because I'm sure that the love of God, as it reaches on into our hearts, is going to affect all of us. I mean, the whole of us. But we are to abound therein with thanksgiving. Then he goes on, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Let me read this morning, if I might, from Amplified. I usually don't like to particularly refer to this translation. I think it's, and it's just what it says that amplifies it. But there are some times that I believe that it will give us a door to where we can see into the reality of words, look on past and see Christ himself. So forbear with me just a little bit this morning as I share with you from this particular translation. Verse 6, chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourself in union with and conformity to him. Have the root of your being firmly, deeply planted in him. This is what it says. Have the root of your being planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abound and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Drop over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 10, reading from the Amplified. And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is, of course, Christ, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon the knowledge after the image and likeness of him who created it. We're talking about the new man now. What we are in Christ, the one new man. In this new creation, all distinguishing vanishes. There's no room for, and there can neither be Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, nor difference between nations, whether they are alien, barbarian, or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave nor free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men, without distinction of person. And then, of course, as we enter on into verse 12, clothe yourself therefore as God's own picked representatives, his own chosen ones, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted piety, mercy, kind feelings, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless, long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes, and with good temper. Be gentle. Now, this can only happen, beloved, in the body of Christ. This is what God is preparing us for, to where we can function in the body of Christ. And that can only happen, as I've already stated in a few words, as we wait upon God, as we get to know and start to experience God. Because it doesn't happen by just learning. It doesn't happen by facts. It doesn't happen by us just teaching the word. That doesn't do it. We have to experience God. That's why we're so slow as far as learning, because we're trying to learn in our mind. We learn the facts. We know the facts. We think we have it, yet it hasn't even started yet. God wants an expression of Himself. We're being conformed into His image. He starts at the very root. He takes that root out and puts a new root in. Glory, His divine nature. And we think we know how to use it, and we don't, because it's only as we wait upon Him and as we rest in Him that His love can flow through us. As long as you got your hand on it, as long as you have your opinions about it, it's not going to flow as God has designed. Clothe yourself, therefore, as God's own picked representatives, by putting on the behavior marked by tenderheartedness, piety, mercy, kind feelings, a lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, patience which is tireless, long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle. Forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, brotherly pardon each other. Even as the Lord has freely given you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love, and enfold yourself with the bonds of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. All he's saying is, in other words, put on love. It's the only thing that takes all of these virtues that he's talking about here, binds them together, and makes us perfect in what they are. Sometimes we get caught up with the different virtues. But love is the only thing that can take all of those virtues and bind them together. Glory. That is the one that ties everything together. Love is the only thing that does that. And that's just what God wants us to be. Be thankful. Appreciate it. Giving praise to God always. There's a lot of work that God wants to do in each one of our lives, and I think we all are aware of that. But what He's looking for is that hungry heart. Because unless there's that hungry heart, unless you're really thirsty for God, you say, is that in feelings? No. That's just recognizing that you can't do anything separate from Him. That's coming to a place of being thirsty for God. Because too many times we're looking for the thirst to manifest in some type of a feeling. But to come to a place in any of our lives, in any part of our day, to realize that I am nothing and I can do nothing separate from Him, brings you to that place that you thirst for God. You long for God to manifest Himself in and through you. He's not going to do it separate from us. He's going to do it because of His great love. And He manifests it in and through us. As it goes on to tell us that all of these things must be done in the very nature of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved, what I'm trying to say this morning in simplest words as I know how to put it is, we have to come underneath and start to understand in life what these words mean. Life is more than words. Would you agree?
Yes.
Because we can come to a place that our words are no more than the philosophy of some religion, rather than experiencing Him. There's no way that we can force this on anybody. This comes from new birth and actually entering in to what God has done. I was reading the other day and something about a a grape vine that was taken and planted near a great river. And it was, I don't know, 200 or 300 yards away. And it kept having this enormous clumps of grapes. And I guess the owner finally discovered that the taproot and root system had traveled that 200 feet to the river. And it was drawing from that source. Gloria, you know, that thrilled me. It's like this letter here this morning that I just read a partial phrase from it. People that are desired, people that are reaching out, people that are, there's no obstacles in their way, they're going to get to the fountain of life. We read the 15th chapter of John and we hear what it tells us to abide in Christ. Do we know what that means? No, I don't. But Lord, I sure do want to. I know what I thought it meant. I knew what it meant not too long ago, and I experienced some of that. But Lord, I've come to the realization this morning that I don't know. Show me again. Sometimes we think that, you know, God's not concerned with this. Show us again. If God wants anything, He wants that heart that's open to Him and says, show me again, Lord. Show me again. Show me what it means. I don't know what it means. Because I haven't come to the end of it. I haven't come to the fullness of it. I'm not ashamed to ask Him, Lord, show me again. Then wait. Take time. Don't get all cluttered up with what you're doing. Because you can't set your mind and heart upon God. You can't be partakers of the fountain of life when your mind is scattered. We've said that so many times, and I think that we realize what we're saying, and you realize the trouble, because none of you can come to prayer and have your mind filled with thoughts and not realize that you're not still. And I've heard so many say, oh, I wish I could be there. I'm striving. I'll be there someday. What day? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you living close to the river and your roots have yet not reached out to get into that fountain of life? That rivers of living water? Glory. Amen. He never said it was going to be easy. Never said it was going to be easy to wait upon Him. But He said, those that wait shall be renewed. Strengthen. Oh, we run so many times in our own strength. Would you say amen for that?
Amen.
So many times we run in our own strength. Yet God wants us to come to that place that we're absolutely, wholeheartedly dependent on Him. And we think, yes, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to have. And you think that you can have it separate from that time with God. I think in some measure I know what quality time is. And yet I know tomorrow God will show me again what it really means. Quality time to me is when I can be still before Him. The cares of this life are in His hands. My thoughts set upon things which are above. That's what He tells us. If you've been born from above, set your mind, your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Quality time is where I can spend with Him to get to know Him. You think you know Him because you know about Him. We repeat how wonderful it is to know that He died and He loved us and He died for us. But to experience that love, to experience Him for who He is. Which would you rather have? Those of you that know anything about love at all, would you rather have a love letter or the person itself? Tell me. Those of you that know anything about love at all, would you rather have a love letter or the person itself? Tell me. Huh?
Number seven.
That means spending time, doesn't it? Spending time. Christ, we're talking about God now, manifested in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead which dwelt in Him bodily. Again, let me say this. We have learned teaching so long that we have divided the Godhead so far apart that we can't enjoy God for Himself. Beloved, I don't serve three gods, I serve one God. You only have one God too. Manifested in three persons. One God. Colossians goes on to tell us that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. Now you have to be still before God to let that sink in. Because and you can see it all around us. Men have taken the truth of this and come up with their own teaching, rather than coming up with that relationship with God. If the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily, and it goes on to add to it, and you are complete in Him, to where I can enter in and I can know what fellowship with God is, with the Father, the Son, and communion with the Holy Ghost. This can only be a reality in our hearts and our lives as we wait upon God. Romans tells us very clearly in one of the passages, I think it's in the 8th chapter, somewhere around there in the first few verses, where it's speaking about those that are after the flesh and those that are after the Spirit. It says, those that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. He doesn't say they might. He said, those that are after the Spirit. What does that mean? Those that are controlled by the Spirit. Those that live and are directed by the Spirit. I find myself, as I listen sometimes to my praying, Lord, direct me today. I want His direction. I don't want my direction. I want His direction. For me to know that, I must take the time to know Him. To where I can move, where you can move. Because if there's anything we want for each other, is that you may move in union with Christ. That should be the sole desire. That should be the place of exhorting one another. Is that we exhort each other back into that place, that union with Christ, to where we know Him and we can move from Him. Because if we're not attached to the head, if everything's not flowing from the head, that's the trouble today. And if we're going to move as the body of Christ, it must be because we're each connected to the head. And that His supply is coming from the head through each member of the body. And the increase is of God, not of man. The only way that can be is if we are in touch. If that flow of life is coming to you. If you have that anointing that's going to teach you all things, that's going to nourish your heart, make your life fruitful for the working of God, that He can bring and plant His life down so deep and it springs forth and it brings forth much fruit. Because God's concerned with much fruit. Your fruit or His fruit? His fruit. He created you unto every good work. Now he says, walk in it. The creation is God's. So many times we're looking to ourselves. And definitely that does bring us to a place of failures all along the way, because we see, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing this, I'm failing here. Why don't you come back to the place and realize who you are? Are you in Christ? Quit trying to be something in yourself. Quit trying to struggle within your own ability to do something for God and just rest in what He has done. Start to praise Him and worship Him. Be surprised what strength comes into our soul. What strength there is that God ministers to us when we just realize that it's Him that I'm looking to know. It's Him that I'm desiring to know the fullness of. Where are we to live? Of course, in Christ is the question. We're to live in the Spirit, in communion with the Spirit. That means that we are to live in the ability, because it talks about the power of the Spirit. It talks about living in the power of the Spirit, in the power of God. What does that mean? I'm living in His ability. I'm not living in my own ability. And you can't add one dot of your ability to this thing. You've got to know His ability. That's why you've got to know, be still before God, that He can fill you with Himself. Don't be intoxicated with the things of this world, but be filled, continually being filled with the Spirit of God. That means coming under His control, coming under His guidance. Because we don't know which way to go. You may think you do. You may wake up today and say, I know just what God wants. You may know it in theory, but you missed God all the way along the way. How many of you have done it? I've done it. Thought I knew what God wanted, but I missed Him all along the way. I was too late or too early because I was doing it in my own strength. I want His strength. See, the thing is, this is the only place that's going to give you what you're looking for. And yet, why do we fight it and fight it down to the very end? It's the last thing that we want to turn to itself. It's our own self-efforts. Now, you can put your name on what that means, but I think most of us here this morning, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where all of us live. None of us have reached up above it. But we're reaching to come above this, to where we can know Him, where we can experience Him. I can exhort you all day. I can provoke you in love. It's not going to do it. There's only one thing that's going to do it, that I find, that I, as I come before the Lord, there's only one thing that's going to do it, if I'm hungry for God. And I will not be satisfied until He comes and sets me free. Oh, I thought I was set free when I received Christ. Set free from sin, yes, but set free from the very thing that made you sin? That causes you to struggle? Causes you not to really know His power and know His rest? And just, you know, rest in God. You're not anxious. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Oh, I just can't do that. I mean, I don't understand what Paul's saying. You have to get in Paul's shoes and walk in Paul's shoes for a while to know what Paul's saying. Or any of us, when we're encouraging others, we can encourage, we can exhort, we can stimulate. Even do it strongly. But beloved, you're not going to do it any other way except in union with Christ. Knowing Him, experiencing Him. So even if you look at somebody else and say, oh, I wish I had what they had, you've got to walk where they walk. And to walk where they walk is you're going to have to wait on God. Each one of us must walk in this place with God. There's no spiritual people today that have obtained. There's only one way, and that way is Christ. Waiting on Him, knowing Him. Taking the time. What do you think? You think it's possible? Well, as I said last week, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. Because God can change each one of us here this morning. You believe that? Can we stop this morning without just introspecting and realize by the Spirit of God how far short we fall? And knowing the reason why we fall so far short? Because in the life of God, we don't fall short. Because we're just moving and responding and experience Him today. I don't have to experience anymore. I don't have to do anymore. I'm experiencing Him today. I'm getting to know Him. That's why Paul is saying at the end of his life that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him. That's where we come each day. That I may experience God. Does God expect me to spend all of my time just being still? Well, let me put it this way. When you come to the place of stillness, you'll want to spend your time knowing Him. You'll find that when you're still, that's when God can allow you to be active in Him. Remember what I said at the beginning. The more we yield to Christ, the more we experience His love. The more we rest, the greater His working through us. When you come to that place of stillness in God, that's where you're going to be active. We just can't comprehend that with our natural mind. We think being active is coming close to Him. Being still is coming close to Him. Resting is to know the fullness of His working. When I'm in complete rest is when I'll know the outworking of Christ in and through my life. As long as I'm active, I'm not at rest, I'm going to fall short. I'm going to see the lacks. I'm going to sense that I have failed. But when I'm at complete rest, then I will know His complete working. I will know the fullness of it. No longer will I be trying to live in what I think I ought to be doing. I'll be living in the reality of His life today. That's where the rejoicing comes, because I'm not struggling against a set of commandments. I'm not trying to enter into some man's philosophy. I am responding to Him. I'm experiencing Him. I'm knowing the fullness of joy. Glory. I'm doing all that He is doing. What else can you do? We think we've got to do a multitude of things. All He's looking is for what He's doing. See, we don't seem to keep account as God keeps account. We seem to look at all of the things we need to be doing. There's one thing you need to be doing, being still before God. Is that enough? When you're still before God, in essence, in His working, He's going to have plenty of things that He wants to do through you. But He can't trust you as long as you're active in yourself. Long as you have your own thoughts about it. Long as you have your own activity. He's just going to have to let you struggle. But He's saying, come unto Me, ye weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, you thought He spoke to the sinners about that. Well, He did. He also speaks to the saints about that too. Because we're still struggling with that self. Trying to do something for God. If we're dead with Christ, then we should be living in the power and the ability that He brings. And only He can allow that to work out. There's two areas that's working in our lives. They're simple. So simple that we miss for as the keeping power of God. We're kept by God's ability, and the scripture also says that we're kept by faith. It says we are saved by grace, and it says we're partakers of grace through faith. Yes? The Holy Spirit's going to have to bring that to you and give you the proper understanding of what that all means. And it's not complicated. Sometimes we like to complicate God and we just struggle with this thing and we condemn ourselves. Come out of that hole this morning. Start in one place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's a new working going on, a new creation, one new man. Start there. Start there each day. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Lord, I don't have to do anything today except love you. Glory? How many of you can do that? Let me see your hand. Come on, I want to see your hand. How many of you can do that? You know, it doesn't take much to raise your hand, does it? Huh? If you really want that. Let me say this critical. If we're so lazy, we can't raise our hand. That's some of our trouble. We're so lazy, we can't wait on God. Because it didn't take no effort to raise your hand. And I'm sure not getting to raise your hand just for the fun of it. But it's merely a working, God, I want you rather than myself. I want to know this resting place that you have designed for me to where there is no condemnation. I'm not struggling to do something for you. I'm just loving you. Just loving you. I'm looking from the other side, maybe just kind of selfishly. Because I know if you'll come to this place, the blessings will overflow in your life to where you'll say, Lord, shut it off. I can't take it anymore. See, I know that. But you don't know. You're saying in your own mind this morning, I can't. And I'm saying over here, you can't. I'm talking to you about the secret. Because you're not going to get any of these other things that we're talking about this morning. You're not going to know it unless we come to that place that I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ is in me. And I'm at rest. I'm at peace. You read about that over there, that's the peace of God that actually is taking and arbitrating everything, right? You know what it tells us? That the peace of God arbitrates everything in our lives. Therefore, set your mind upon these things. Let the peace of God control us, bring us to a place of confidence. God doesn't want us to always be down in the hole. God wants to bring us to a place that we know. Hallelujah. He wants to bring us to a place of full confidence, fully persuaded. Hallelujah. What strength in weakness? You'll never know it until you experience it. Some of you looking with a blank look on your face. Others looking with a smile. I know some of you are experiencing it the same as we may be experiencing a little bit of this, but beloved, we can't be satisfied until each one of us experience it. Till the pull of this world has lost its hold on us. then we can walk down through this world and do His will. In your jobs, wherever He leads you or guides you, if you're at rest, perfect rest, loving Him, then He can flow through you. Listen to it again. The more we rest, the greater His work through us. These are just opposite of the principles of life in this world. These are the principles of heaven. We've been brought into a different kingdom. If you want to be successful in this world, you've got to be active. You've got to be outgoing. If you're going to be successful with God, you've got to be still and know Him. Come on. I mean, how long have you struggled with this? Huh? How long? You want to be free of it this morning, once and for all? Then just be still and start to love God. Start to love Jesus. And if you're just looking for feelings, they may not come for a long time. But amen. Entrust your life into His hands. And just love Him with every ability that He's given you, ever how small it is, start to love Him with that ability. And you'll see that you come to that place of perfect rest. You're satisfied with just loving Jesus. Not working for Jesus, but loving Jesus. And then as you come there, and as you rest there, you start to gain His strength. As you start to know His guidance, you'll start to see that He starts to pour through you His divine nature to others around you. And beloved, let us start right here. Let's start right here. If we can't do it here, we're not going to do it anywhere else. If you can't be at rest here and let your love pour out to each other, you won't do it out there in the world. God gives us a place to where He can move here to bring us to a oneness as He has designed, that we can walk out there and His love can flow through us and we're not straining, struggling, entering into some witnessing program. We are a living witness. Living witness. This is a new and living way, and this is a new and living witness that He brings. In other words, He's revealing Himself in you. Don't struggle. A lot of us are trying to be something for God. I hope I haven't confused you this morning. Just hope that each one of us see a little clearer to where we have entered into that rest and there's more of His love that can flow through us. Our minds don't clog it up, because our minds are probably our worst enemy. That's why there's that command, you know, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. How many of you have control of your mind? Why don't you? How many of you got control of your hand? You think your mind's any more than your hand? It's merely instrument. Why don't you have control of your mind? But you haven't seen the value of it. And you haven't set your mind upon things above. You set it on things of the earth, on people, on things, circumstances, on attitudes. Set them on God. Set them on things above. God has given you the Holy Spirit that you can do His will. Not in your own power, but that you can be a vessel that's moving in union with Him. I trust that God has spoken to you this morning, that He has given you a place, not just to hear, but to move. Lord, while on others you're calling, do not pass me by. Beloved, I got mine. Did you get yours? As I was speaking to you, God dropped a drop in my bucket too. Hallelujah. I can talk all day, but if God doesn't bless me, if God doesn't give me something, I didn't come here just to speak to you. I came here that God can drop something in me. I got mine. I got mine this morning. Got that direction that He wanted me to move in, that I wanted to see more. Did you get yours? It's important. We're concerned. It's not just a foolish question. Did you get yours? Did you get what God had for you? But we want to see you enter in. We want to see each other enter in to this union with Christ that frees us in His life. To walk in the richness. To walk in who we are. Beloved, I mean, I can pump you up mentally, but it doesn't do any good because you fall flat tomorrow. But you're joint heirs. You're a child of the King. You're joint heirs with Him. You've got to know that working. You've got to know that ability that's coming from Him. You can't know that ability just by separating yourself from Him or from the world. Sometimes we think because we have separated, we know certain things, certain truths about the Word of God that we have attained. We haven't attained to anything. In fact, it's our worst enemy. When we think we know something, we're trying to give forth a philosophy rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He does that through us. We don't do that. He's the one that allows the grapes to blossom on your vine. And He's the one that orders the ones to come along and pick them. Hallelujah. You thought you would supply everybody with your grapes, huh? That's still that old attitude. Lord, cleanse me from it. Lord, it's You that produces the fruit. It's You that distributes the fruit. It's You that gives the very sap that flows in me that brings forth the fruit. And I dare not touch it. It's Yours. Can you shout this morning? Amen. Glory! Well, I don't know how to express it any other way. You know my word. Glory. Because it is. It's from glory to glory that God is changing us. One glory to another glory. Are you free this morning in Christ? That's the thing now. Are you free in Christ? How long are you going to stay there? Did you just get it in your head? Or did He give you something that's going to give you the ability that you need? Beloved, let me just give you a secret. You're not going to have the ability to stay there unless you spend time with Him. Because that's the only place that you start to know His ability. I must know His ability. That means if I'm going to have the strength, the spiritual strength to endure, I must have it from Him. I can't get it any other place. Some of us have been taught we can get it and have our meditations and read our little devotional. Found it doesn't come that way. You just stumble all over, fall flat on your face. Isn't that true? If you won't say it, I will. I know some of you did say it. There's only one thing that makes the difference. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Living. New and living way. Try everything else. But I'll tell you, it won't work. There's only one thing that works, and that's God Himself. And He is so abundant in pouring out His blessings. Abundant. We think that God just trickles to us. Get under the spout. You're away from the spout. Get under the spout and you'll find out you can't contain it. You'll be worse than I am. You'll just be shouting, glory, 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 glory. When you get under the spout of God. And it may not always be exuberant, brothers and sisters. you may say it with tears flowing down your face. But this walk is not all laughter, not all just enjoying feelings. This life is a life of tears and sorrows. And we're called to bear up underneath that because He has given us His ability. We've been called to suffer for His name's sake. But that suffering comes tears. You can't associate with anybody around you and not weep